my nationality, so I consider myself to... So when I hear that question, I usually respond, it's like my ethnicity, so I consider myself to be Chamorro. So my family's from Guam. I grew up in San Diego, California, so my nationality technically, United States citizen, but I definitely identify more culturally with my Chamorro background.
So have you been to Guam before, and if not, would you like to go?
Yeah, so I have never been before, but I'm going in July. I got research funding to go for the whole month of July, and I'll be doing a study abroad. And I was supposed to go with my grandma before she passed. She was going to take me. I never got to go, so it's kind of been this dream of mine to go with research funds or not to have to pay for myself, so I'm really excited to...
And are you going with friends?
Or? I'm doing a study abroad, so I'll go by myself, but I'll stay at the University of Guam, so... Yeah. Just by myself, but I'm sure I'll meet people there. But I'll be taking classes and doing research.
That's really fun. How do you think Pacific Islanders are represented in San Diego?
I think they self represent as being very family oriented or very community oriented, and we have a lot of different parties and fiestas where we ask folks to travel to San Diego to really celebrate the culture, so I think we self-identify by letting folks know that we're open to reconnecting with people, even if they are off-island. And then I think they're represented by other people as being like just one group of Pacific Islanders, whereas we try to be very specific about, oh, what island are you from, and what specific things are unique about that island as far as the food or the people. So I think there's that difference of if you're from a Pacific island, you want to be specific, whereas other people might be like, oh, look, they're just having an island gathering. So it's more of like folks generalizing.
So would you say that you guys are open to people outside of your community? So whether it's not just Guam or Pacific Islanders, but like I'm Persian, so would you guys be open to like other people of different ethnicities?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because I saw that I think the last time I went to the site, there was like American people, and there's so many new people, and it was just like it was cool to see that they were open to coming and they were welcome to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very interesting.
I think it's more about people like
being together.
Oh yeah, and us wanting to invite people who are genuinely interested in learning about the culture, having that respectful exchange, as opposed to somebody from a different culture coming in, and if they wanted something from us without wanting to be reciprocal, that might be a different story. But as long as folks are like yourself coming in and actually curious, then people
because
are open.
Because I think that's how you keep the culture alive.
Mm-hmm.
Is through like different people, not just yourself.
Absolutely.
But other people too. Have you experienced any discrimination of any sort due to being a Pacific Islander in San Diego?
I don't feel like I have. Personally, I feel like folks think that my family's from Mexico, and so I feel discrimination in that regard. So folks will just...
Why do they think that?
Just the way I look, or they'll start talking to me in Spanish, or I feel my instances of discrimination are because people like... classify me as another ethnicity, but I haven't felt anything specific to my Pacific Islander identity. Besides, sometimes I'll feel like older Chamorro folks, if I don't speak the language, they don't say anything that's super insulting, but it's more of like a feeling that I get that they are appreciative that I'm trying to learn the culture, but depending on who I'm talking to, they might be like, oh, a little distant. So it's not outright discrimination like a lot of other groups feel, but it's kind of these micro things that happen within the community.
Right. So is it hard for you to kind of communicate with older folks?
Yeah, it is. And especially because where I'm coming from, I'm interested in a lot of social justice issues or a lot of things that I'm learning about in my own educational training that conflict with maybe some things that they've been brought up to learn and that they really perpetuate. So I think it's the intergenerational challenge, really older people versus people like myself in like their 20s,
30s. Right, like kind of that modern aspect, I think.
Yeah, especially the religious part, right. Because the older ones really have certain religious ties ingrained in them, which is fine for different reasons, but for my generation, there's just some problematic things that I find. And
so what would be the religious, is it like Christianity or
Catholicism?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. got you.
I don't know if you saw at the site, there's like a lot of
Catholic stuff. Right when I would drive in, there was like, I'm not Catholic, so yeah. I don't know what it signifies, but there's like this statue of, I could tell it was a religious statue, but right when I drove in, that's the first thing I saw. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were a lot of religious things, so mm-hmm. it is Catholicism. Mm-hmm. Since the Guam community is rather large in San Diego, do you think that the city should do a better job of representing Pacific Islanders or Guam people?
Yes, so I think it'd be great to have more opportunities for Chamorros to sit at the table of different decision-making endeavors. So I think just reaching out to the community and saying, hey, what do you guys think? What are your concerns? That would be nice. So I don't think we get a lot of that, people actually outreaching. It's more folks from our community going to those places like, hey, can we be a part of this? So I think it'd be nice to have that outreach part.
Right, that reciprocation. Mm-hmm. For how many years have you been an active member at the Sons and Daughters of Guam Club?
So I've been a lifetime member for 5 years now. And my aunt, she was the treasurer and the secretary, like, back in the day. So yeah, I've had family connections that go back a while, but my own involvement about 5 years.
So was she the one that kind of got you into it?
No, I didn't know she was actually part of it until after I went. And they're like, oh, we know you. So no, it was just me wanting to connect and feeling like my own family. When we do get together, like, they want to share about our culture and they want to talk about it, but I don't see them as much as I'd like. So I really had that hunger to want to be exposed to my culture more regularly. And I'm like, oh, where can I get this whenever I want? You know, into the Guam Club, oh, Monday through Friday, like, somebody's there. So that was a big push just for me to go get that thing I was craving, which is my culture.
Yeah. How many times a week do you visit the club?
Right now, once a week, like, regularly, unless there's an event or something.
Yeah, and people know you.
Yes.
Everyone knows you there.
Yes. Yeah. So Chelu operates, so again, we're kind of diasporic, so we'll meet at the Guam Club more for social events, but yeah, most of the Chamorro community knows I'm in school, and they're really proud of me for doing the PhD thing, but they'll know me as, like, zipping and zooming around the community for different things.
Yeah, most of the people that I talked to, they were very, like, school-oriented, like, staying in school, you guys doing, like, mm-hmm. you know, they wanted to know what we were doing for UCSD and, like, the whole program, so it was, what, I think, the woman that I...
Lou.
Yeah, Lou. She was just staying in school because she was like, I want to go into politics, but you can do it, and she's like, I'm too old. Well,
I think her daughter is... in school too. Did she talk about her daughter, Jessie? Maybe that would be.
No, but I think she talked about how her niece or someone goes to UCSD.
Okay, that was her then.
Yeah, she didn't talk about her daughter, no.
Okay, pretty sure that's her then.
Would you say that the club has made you more connected to your culture?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
What first made you want to participate and become an active member at the Sons and Daughters of Guam Club?
So like I said, it was on my to-do list for literally a year. I wanted to show up. I kept saying, I'll go this weekend, I'll go next week. And I just felt like I was going to be judged for not knowing the language, So finally, I just went and I just showed up. So it was just, a personal thing for me, just having the courage to go and show up and ask questions.
And what was your first experience like? Were they judgmental?
They were not judgmental. They were, kind of like, where have you been? Like, that kind of thing. Like, we've been waiting for you.
Right.
That's the feeling I got. And so, told them I was in school, that I'm studying our culture, and they were just super happy. And, yes, I thought I was going to get, like, oh, what are you doing here? But it was more, oh, we're glad you're here, like, kind of welcome home.
So I usually go to senior lunches, but mm-hmm. are there young people, too, that... they come and try to be there and participate too?
Yeah, so they usually come to the more social things on the weekends or the Sunday club meetings. So yeah, senior lunches, you get mostly seniors.
Right.
But definitely there's more of the seniors, kids and grandchildren that are trying to make a presence today.
Yeah. I met another lady. She brought her grandson from out of town.
Like a little grandson?
No, he's in college. He was like 21, 22.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, he was just here for, I think his school ended earlier than us, so he was just here for a little period of time. Yeah. How has the site developed throughout the years?
It hasn't changed as much since I've been there. It's pretty much the same. But I know in the past, they started out with just like a room, and then they built onto the building. So I think they're just trying to make it reactive to what the community needs. So they try to get funding to just increase the space to whatever the community needs at that certain point in time. But I think it's been the same since I've been there.
And it changes much. The green tent, is that where like the parties and where people do like workout and like activities and stuff like that? That's where it all happens.
Yeah, so they rent out that space to like different quinceañeras too, or different community events. So that space is like available to other people who want to use it. But yeah, that's the go-to space.
So and you can rent it out for a party.
Yes. Wow. Yeah, I want to rent it out for my. I'm not married yet, but I want to rent it out for a future wedding.
Really?
Like that back space. Yeah, I think it'd be a fun space.
It obviously really has an impact on you that you would, like, want to get married there.
Yeah, I feel like it'd be, like, a home.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have a other home to have, like, a home wedding in, but I think there's just something
like
to say
second.
About. Exactly. Yeah, so it'd be really important for me to have it there.
What do you hope to accomplish for the Sons and Daughters of Guam Club in the few years to come as far as improvements, new activities, or other ways to keep the culture alive at this site?
So I see my role as being like a liaison between the younger generations and what the older generations are saying they want, which is more youth there to ask questions and to share the culture. So I feel like my role is to use my privilege in being in education to facilitate their wishes and to just use my body, my energy, everything I have to really make what they want to see happen. So I see my role as being reactive to what they need and being a liaison.
So more of like an educational platform?
Yeah, and being that connector who, like, if they're saying they want to talk to students and I have students saying they want to talk to these community members, like, I'll make the connections happen. I'll go talk to people in person. So part education, but also part just coordination.
Yeah.
So just creating opportunities for people to come together.
Could you tell me in your own words what the Sons and Daughters of Guam Club represents to you?
A home away from home.
And is your family not here?
My family's here, so they do attend also, but it's more of an inter-island home away from home too, because it's kind of like a landing pad for people who aren't living in Guam anymore or who live in Guam and then come to San Diego to visit, so they know they can go there to see their old friends. So I just see it as this home away from home. And so I think it represents just a space for people to go and get food that reminds them of home, or food that their parents cooked. Instead, for the seniors, a lot of them don't cook anymore regularly.
Yeah.
So it's just this community space where you can get nourished, you can talk to people, you can just hang out.
And I feel like for seniors, it's a lot of like learning how to be nutritious and like well-balanced meals, because I feel like as you get older, you kind of, I mean, even me, like
TV just, dinner or something.
Right, you just like lose touch like from because of that. So I think that's like what I saw from it was like this like more of a way to improve their lives.
Yeah, and a lot of their dishes are like culturally relevant food, but they're tweaking it a little bit to make it healthier.
Yeah.
So I think that's they're trying to improve on that too, is make it more health conscious.
What was one of your best and most significant memories throughout your years at the club?
Good question. I think just the first day I went, like I went feeling scared or intimidated, and then I ended up, you know, they were just, once I introduced myself to like one or two people, she like took me around and introduced me to everybody, and then they just like welcomed me to come eat, and then they had me call bingo that day. She just like calling the numbers, but it just felt so quickly absorbed into their world without like a second guess. So I feel like that was my fondest memory, because it made me feel welcome to come back, and that kind of set my trajectory for the years to come. It's a really important moment for me.
And how old were you when you first went there?
22.
So you kind of grew up there in a sense.
Yeah, having this home base,
yeah.
I think it's nice that it was by choice too. It's not like somebody was saying, you need to go here,
they
whatever.
Go.
Yeah, I was like, no, get my car, I want to go there. So it's really...
So you're more open to their ideals and their beliefs and what... Even just being there and being a part of them.
Yes, I'm more open to... I just want to hear what they have to say, or just learn from their experiences. I don't necessarily need to agree with every single thing they say, but I just feel home being around. Even if I'm not talking to them directly, just being in the space feels really good for me.
Why do you think a club is so important to the active participants and members?
Because it provides that home base and reminders of home, and I think without it, there would be a lot of seniors who would just feel really isolated, and they have a big role in the club, so a lot of them are volunteers, and they help keep the club running, so I think it gives them a sense of purpose and empowerment, too. So I think it's just a really good kind of community support pillar for us.
Do they kind of feel like, or even you, do you guys kind of feel like the culture is dying in a way? So especially in San Diego?
Yeah, so we do feel that way, and that's why there's this big push to get youth to be interested.
Yeah.
So there is. I feel like there's a generation gap where we're trying to outreach to, like, high school kids, and definitely a feeling that's in the club.
Because I never really, I mean, I knew Pacific Islander and Guam, but I never really, you know, people don't really talk about it all that much, mm-hmm. you know? So I feel like having this is a way for not just you guys, but for also us to see what it is more and to get more information about it.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, there's not very, I don't think there's any other spaces where you can go and be like, hey, you want to reach out to the Chamorro community, where do you go?
Yeah,
I guess it's like the only space, pretty much.
Even in LA, well, I don't know, I haven't done a lot of research on it, but I'm from LA and it doesn't seem like there is any either.
Yeah.
But I also see, like, I feel like the culture in LA and the community isn't as big as it is here, so maybe that's why, but yeah. Have you met anyone at the club that has become a tight-knit person in your life?
Yeah, JoJo. So she's also with Chalu, and she's that person who went and introduced me to everybody and just makes you feel like you have an important job no matter, like, what your skill set is, and that you, like, we need you helping the culture. So I feel like she's always been that person to just remind me that I'm needed, remind me that I'm welcome there. So, yeah, I'd say her, JoJo.
And is she older? She's a senior?
She's older, yeah. She's, like, 60s. So she's just... her life's work is this work.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good role model for me professionally, too, to see, like, oh, you can be really involved like this as you get older. It's not just something that I'm going to pursue in my youth, so.
And what you can accomplish, like, for the years to come.
Exactly, yeah.
In what ways has the club impacted your own personal life, aside from it kind of just being your home? Has it impacted your education or anything else?
Yeah, so it completely impacted what I study now in my graduate program, and it's impacted just my personal relationships with my family, because I feel like I have something to show them, like, hey, if you want to connect about our culture, if you want to, like, talk about anything, like, let's go to the Guam Club. Or I just feel like I have a stronger foundation now for which to talk to people about where I'm from, where my family's from. So I feel just more brave, I guess, in a lot of different ways.
And is your family proud of you at your...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah.
And are they close to the culture as well, too?
So I have, like, two aunties who are really involved and want to share culture, and the other ones, they are Chamorro, and they're, like, you know, they love the culture. They're just not as active in, like, sharing it and trying to really teach it.
Right. Why is the club significant to San Diego? Or even Chalu?
So it's significant because we have such a big Chamorro population, so I feel like it's this just connecting piece where there's all these people that want to connect with other people, and so we actually bring the people together. So we host the festival, you know, we have this clubhouse, so I feel like without those spaces, it would feel even more diasporic. So I feel like it's really just this connecting piece for the community.
And I feel like people there kind of, I don't know if they knew each other before, but I feel like they've built really close bonds mm-hmm. together through the club.
Yeah.
Which was, like, really cool.
Yeah, and it's a military town, too, so right. It's been just historically important for people who have been traveling through military orders, like in San Diego, to, like, meet other people who are also in that same boat, just to make these connections where they would otherwise not have ever crossed paths.
And is there a reason why it's located in Chula Vista? It's Chula Vista.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the naval base is not too far away.
Mm-hmm.
So just a lot of the community started moving around the military base area. So I think that was just a natural spot because that's where everybody was was at. So that right. building came up for rent, and they were able to get it. So yeah, the military has definitely played a role.
So people live around that area, so it's like easy for them to come mm-hmm. to the site.
Yeah.
Where do you hope to see the club in the next 5 years?
I'd like to see it have a regular language class component or something available for the public where they can come learn the language, and to have, yeah, a set of regular workshops or something that the public can come to.
What do you hope that the undergraduate students of History 144 will take away from visiting the club during this course?
That they can make positive community relationships anytime, anywhere, and it doesn't need to be just for a class, but if you have an interest in just either contributing to your own culture or local community, like all it takes is just showing up, asking questions, telling people like what you're interested in, and you can spark connections. So I feel like I hope these exercises make those conversations less scary to start in the first place.
And do you feel like we could make a difference?
I do, yeah. I think just with conversations too. It doesn't have to be this whole project that you embark on, but just having little conversations throughout, you know, go talk to somebody once a month in your local community. Just these little things can really have an impact in those conversations. I think people are going to remember.
Yeah.
That's kind of my interest in coming to the class, is just inspiring students to feel like they can do that.